to an end. A new one is moved into place, and then there always seems to be bumps and grinds with how it's going to come out for the next generation. And what we're watching right now is, number one, one of the largest monetary transfers of wealth in the history of America, let alone the world. Number two is that my generation was the largest generation ever in the history of the world and the United States. I'm about 4 years ahead of what was known as the baby boomers. We were called the war babies. They called us that because the dads and moms came back from World War II in Europe. They started having a lot of babies. Yep. And it changed the whole country. And so when we graduated from high school, 1960 to 68 or so, the world was changing then. They introduced drugs to our generation and pornography to our generation and sexual promiscuity. And then that led to homosexuality and other things that were never acceptable before. And what we're seeing now is the children and the grandchildren of my generation are stepping into power. And that's why we're seeing so much change. And that's why we're seeing this COVID-19 being really questionable, because it's being used to alter the truth, and it's being used to confuse people and mentally upset people.
Yeah, it's the timing of COVID-19 is really striking. So many details. I appreciate, I'm just here in central Massachusetts. I can only see what I can see from here, you know, in my experience. But it's quite striking what is going on and the timing of it and what it can mean with just even world events now with the election and so forth. It's yeah. It's quite a thing. It really is. And then, you know, our nation with all the unrest and, you know, protesting and rioting and stuff that... it's really a time, so many people, you know, you talk to them on the street, people that know the Lord or people that don't know the Lord, and just casual conversations, and people are really wondering, you know, I've talked to people at different ages, wondering where this is all going, what's going to happen in life, you know.
Yeah, it's confusing to everybody. You know, the last month I've been in the Midwest going town to town, and we just had some really beautiful experiences. And one of the sad things is that in the Midwest, the people aren't really geared up for wearing masks. They're very independent people. Yeah. And when I left, the day that I left, there's articles on the internet saying that the COVID-19 is leaving the Sun Belt and heading north. And then it named the states I was just in, and the states I was to be going to are going to be the hot spots. Okay. And there are Wisconsin, Missouri, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan. And the people don't understand it. They're thinking it's a conspiracy. And yet our oldest son in Washington, D.C. Had this, and he couldn't move out of bed for 4 weeks. It was so bad.
Wow.
And we have a very close friend and a single mom with two kids that Sandy and I like to help with their college a little bit. And she went from pneumonia to double pneumonia to COVID-19, and then from home care to hospital to the intensive care unit. And the message that we were getting, the doctors were saying she probably wasn't going to make it. And she's a young woman in her early 40s. And she came through it, but 6-8 weeks later, she's still not all the way back to where she was. It is a real deal.
It is.
And there is deception. I think it was, I've been home about 9 days now, and there was a statistic given and about 9 days ago that Florida was having a second revival of the flu and the COVID, and it was 98.5% rise from the previous of people getting this. And then the next day, somebody challenged it, and they said, oh, we made a mistake. It was 9.85%.
Yeah.
That's a big difference from 98% having 9% of people.
Yep.
So there is people taking advantage of this for whatever reason. But I love what the Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. we're free, and yes. we don't need to worry about all the tricks and the craftiness and the wiles of the devil. We need to be aware of them, but they don't control our hearts and our minds because the Holy Spirit does.
Amen. Yeah, I'm in a season in life where the Lord is ministering to me, and it keeps coming back around, even in the last 24 hours, but that whole truth, you know, this is not my home. And the Lord just telling me that in different ways, this is not my home. And I do have an eternal home. And to keep the perspective, the bigger picture, you know, I love our nation. I love the people in our city, my family. I want to see revival. I want to see good things come. I want to see things change and go a different direction for America. But I have another home ultimately, and I'm looking forward to heaven. So it's true. I was just teaching on Sunday in Zechariah chapter 2 at our church. And, you know, they're building the temple, the Jews, back after their exile. And things are very difficult for them. They even stop once for a while, and Haggai comes along, gets them going. But you know, Zechariah tells them, you know, God through these visions tells them to sing and rejoice. And he does so because of their future. He talks about their future. Even though in the present they're building the temple, it just doesn't look good. The Samaritans, early Samaritans are all around them, and their nation obviously was destroyed 7 years before. They're back in the land, but it's tough. But it's all the future, you know, their future home, their future Jerusalem, you know, even the Messiah is spoken of. And you know, and I was just reminding our church, you know, we can sing. We can sing right now. We can rejoice in that sense of the promises that we have and the hope that we have of heaven. Ultimately, that we're, you know, we're citizens of heven, and yet having, you know, at the same time, a burden for our nation and praying like crazy for a revival. So you're listening to Renew FM. I do want to just give you the phone number again as you're listening. And the phone number is, this is George Smallwood, and I'm with Mike McIntosh, and we're going to just have a conversation seeking to encourage you, talk about our nation, talk about the Lord especially. Our hope is to give you hope. This is Hope for the Hour. If we can pray for you, you've got a prayer request, something we say, you'd like to ask a question, we can encourage you. I'm going to give you a phone number, 888-310-PRAY. Easy one to remember, 888-310-PRAY, which is 888-310-7729. You call, and the call will be screened by somebody else, meaning somebody else in another studio will answer the call, put you on hold a little bit, and then transfer you into the studio so we can get you live on the air. So I want you to, the number to call, give us a call, 888-310-PRAY. But Mike, yeah, you know, you're mentioning we have hope, and we have plenty of hope no matter what's going on.
That's true. You said something interesting. You said, you told the church, we can sing. Now go almost 3,000 miles towards the West Coast and down to the bottom to San Diego, and churches cannot sing in California.
You know, that is interesting.
That is interesting. And then the medical person in San Diego added to it that home Bible studies are illegal.
Wow.
Now, what does that have to do with a medical person telling us that we... Oh, and it went on to say the mandate was saying that also... You cannot host people in your house other than family members, but you cannot have neighbors and strangers in your home.
Yeah, it's an incredible time. Yeah,
they're pushing buttons. Some people are going a little bit too far, but here's the sad part for me, George, having just spent a month, well, 3 weeks actually on the road and driving through four states, hundreds of miles, and having 19 events in 16 days.
Wow.
It was, it was pretty draining. But seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in those four states and seeing people come to receive Jesus and
right.
people to come that were Christians and admit that they have drifted. The American Bible Society recently listed a statistic that caught my attention that in June they came out with a finding of 6 months in America. In January, 28% of Christians read their Bible daily and were impacted by the scriptures by reading daily. In the first end of June, 6 months go by, the first part of July, that number went from 28% during this horrendous time to 22%. It went down instead of going up.
Wow.
While witchcraft, black magic, Ouija boards, seances, tarot card readers, palm readers, and the things on the dark side have gone up 35%. Now, when we say that it went from 28 to 26, we go, oh, my goodness. But think of this. 28 means that there's 72% that aren't reading their Bible daily.
Yeah, that's a big deal, isn't it, Mike? I say it all the time to our church. All the time. I tell them all the time. I even did a couple weeks ago. I said, I'm going to give you a test as we get started. How do you do on the test? Did you spend your time this last week with your Bible and in prayer seeking the Lord? And we're talking about returning to the Lord at a time like this. How can you say that you are if you're never opening your Bible and praying?
That's right.
There's just a problem there. Intimacy with God is being alone with Him and getting to know Him, and that's what the church needs, and we need to return to Him. So I totally, that is such a dilemma. And, you know, you just mentioned something I've seen, too, which was surprising to me. I remember when same-sex marriage was approved here in Massachusetts before the rest of the country. I remember telling a Christian school teacher locally, you know, get ready, you know, because it already was quickly opening up the, you know, door in the public schools for things to come in the curriculum that wasn't there before. And I said, you're going to see an influx of Christian families, man, coming. You know, a lot of families putting their kids in Christian school. And you know what happened was the exact opposite.
Yeah.
The Christian schools around here closed. And one by one, they closed. They just got smaller. And I don't get what just happened. What is happening to the church? What is happening to people? Or what is going on? It's quite a thing to try to figure out. It's the opposite of what I would have expected. So.
Yes, but I'm glad you're asking those questions. What happened here? Because it is happening. Christian radio, as you well know, is closing down across the country. I talked to a man that helps build stations, and they told him at the FCC, there's not going to be a window for you Christians anymore getting these FM low-power stations, and the window was closed for Christianity, actually. That's what they were saying.
Wow.
And then we find that Christian bookstores by the dozens and dozens are closing down because very few people go into them anymore to buy the books, to buy the music, to buy whatever it is they're looking for. And Christian radio, Christian music, it all pretty much moved to Nashville and was bought up by ABC and other major world media companies. The Christian publishing, everything has gone down. So that is something that we need to be alarmed about, and that's why we blow the trumpet and call for a revival. And a revival is you're bringing to life someone who once was alive, but then stopped breathing. They aren't walking with the Lord. An awakening, which started in America in New England, was non-believers. The awakening took place to people that had no background with God, and God woke them up. And if we don't have a revival, I think the Lord will be here any day now, because if the church loses its savor, Jesus said, what good is the salt if it loses its savor? It's good for nothing. And if we are so weak that only 22% are reading their Bible daily, then we're not good for anything. And that's why he's going to remove us. I always felt he's going to remove us. People want to argue about pre-rapture, the mid-trib rapture, the tribulation going through it. And that's not the issue. The issue is that we've lost our power, and we've turned to the things of the world in the church. So I think we're at a very dangerous spot, and I'd like him just to give us a chance, like your audience. It's a minority audience, and there are people that would hate you and me for propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ, but most Christians don't understand that.
Yeah,
we need to pray for the power of the Holy Ghost that will bring repentance, and that's one thing I saw in the last four states that I was in the Midwest, George, and that was in one town, one evening, outdoor meetings and amphitheaters and parks, three pastors, unrelated to each other, I knew none of them, on this one outreach came to me when I gave a option to come forward if they wanted to get their hearts right with God, and these three pastors came at different times through the evening and said, after listening to the testimony of the people you brought with you, brought Helen Davis and Alicia Previn, Andre Previn's daughter, and they did great worship music, and then Rodrigo Rodriguez, one of the world classical guitarists, and and Jose, a Navy SEAL, who shared his testimony in Jesus. And these three guys, unbeknownst to them, confessed to me they wanted to be a pastor, a better pastor. They just have a job at the church. But they saw the challenge from the platform that they're missing something. And if they're missing something, then the church is missing something.
Oh, amen.
Yeah, and that blessed me. Also at that same place, we had demonic activity with challenges from the devil and demon-possessed people. And I find that very interesting that when the devil is prowling, comes right out and lets you know he's not happy you're in his town, that pastors repent. And I wonder how many were there that didn't repent are still going to be lukewarm and their people will be lukewarm.
Yeah, wow, that's real interesting. Yeah, Mike, I know you have done crusades all over the world and ministered in so many places, and certainly you have seen spiritual warfare. And
yeah,
I was privileged to be, you probably didn't know this, but on the team that went to Grenada many years ago. My wife and I, we were newly married, and I remember in the soccer stadium, and you know, I just remember the spiritual battle, and there's some stories we even have personally from that time. Great outreach in Grenada. But yeah, the spiritual battle is very real. And, you know, it's amazing to hear that in the battle, yet there are pastors. You know, the battle for pastors, it's true. If we go through the Bible, I've even noted that in recent passages. I can't think of the verses right now, but the leaders, it starts with the leaders, the shepherds.
Yeah. Peter. Yeah, Peter said in the last days that judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. And if we are scarcely saved, what is going to happen to the people of this world? And that should strike fear in every Christian's heart, if we're scarcely saved.
Yeah.
And we should have... There was a man, his name was also Michael, and on a Sunday night in one Indiana town, I was standing towards the back of the crowd listening to the music and just getting a feel for the evening, and I saw one of the pastors that I knew who had invited me there talking to a man, and I just walked by and said, hey, I want to introduce you to Mike. Mike was not walking with the Lord. There was some issue. I didn't want to get into their counseling time that was going on there, but he told me who his wife was, and I had taken a picture of his wife and two children on her lap from a few rows back the previous Sunday morning and put it on my Facebook that here's a mommy with her two little boys. Well, this was the man married to the woman, and he wasn't in church. So she drove, actually, to she went to 1, 2, 3 different cities, drove to be there. She drove to Wisconsin, Indiana, and then to Illinois, just to be there and hear the word of God and the worship of God. And she had these little boys. And so outside of Chicago, she comes up when I give an invitation. I recognized her and said hello to her. And she said, I want more of God. I want to pray that the Lord would baptize me with the Holy Spirit, like in the book of Acts. And I said, that's a wonderful prayer. And then we prayed. And then her four-year-old little boy was smiling at me, and her seven-year-old little boy. And I said, boys, would you like to have Jesus in your heart? I'm sure you do, but I'd love to pray with you. And both of the boys, 7 years old and four-year-old, waited till the next brother prayed, and then they took their turn praying.
Wow.
And they prayed exactly knowingly that they were sinners and that God loved them, and that his son Jesus died for them, was buried in a grave for them, and was raised from the dead. And they understood it completely, and they asked Jesus into their heart. So just 3 days ago.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Daddy died in his sleep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It broke my heart because I was standing right next to him.
Wow.
I was, you know, right next to a man that in 5 days from that period or six, he was going to no longer be on the earth.
Yeah.
And he had a wife that was driving to three different states to get her heart right with God, and two little boys asking God to be their father, and then they lost their father at the beginning of this week.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's. I'm thankful to hear that they, you know, what God was doing, turning them to the Lord. But boy, that is, yeah, to lose your father, little boys, a young wife.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's hard to hear and sad, and it's the tragic part of this world too. And I know, Mike, you've ministered to a lot of hurting people. That is one thing you've done with your, you know, the chaplaincy and the different things you've been involved in, even Ground Zero right after September 11th and chaplain in San Diego. And you've ministered to a lot of hurting people. Obviously, the church in San Diego was so many thousands that you ministered to. And, yeah, it's hard to hear that. It's sad to hear that. But I'm glad that the Lord is also there in the story. So. Yeah, I want to remind you that are listening, and this is George Small. I'm with Mike McIntosh, and Mike pastors. Well, Mike has turned over the ministry to his son, but Horizon Christian Fellowship in San Diego, and a lot of years of ministry, a lot of experiences, and a lot of things he can share in this time, and we can keep going. But you can call if you'd like us to pray for you.
Yeah, definitely.
If your heart is heavy and you're afraid or whatever you might be going through, we're two pastors. We're certainly here we can pray with you. The phone number to call is 888-310-PRAY, 888-310-7729. And 888-310-PRAY, 7729 is 310-7729. And we are going to have a break in about 5 minutes, but we'll be back for the second half hour. So you can continue to listen, or you can also call. We'd love to encourage you if we can, and maybe you have a question. So, but Mike, you had to hear that story. That's a hard story to hear, but I'm glad for the Lord in the story.
Yeah, I am too. And Holland Davis was with me leading worship that particular evening when that man was there. And we both had met his wife and the boys, but we didn't know him or where he was in the picture. And I immediately got a hold of Holland and say, did you know that that man died in his sleep last night? And he was shocked like I was, and he said, but you couldn't have made the gift of salvation any clearer than you did that night. And if he stayed through the whole night, there's no way he could ever say that he didn't know what to do. So that's my hope. My hope is, you know, love believes all things, hopes all things. My hope is that he did say yes to the Lord. And maybe even in his dying moments that he was gasping for air. Who knows?
Well, Mike, we have somebody that's calling in for prayer, so I'm going to take that call as it comes over here to the studio. And again, the number to call, 888-310-PRAY, but we're switching a phone call here over to the studio so we can pray with a listener. But that's what we're here tonight for. And okay. Hello, this is Renew FM. Welcome to Renew FM.
Thank you.
Yes, how can we pray for you? Can we encourage you?
Well, honestly, I've been in and out of mental facilities, and I just want to pray just for me to be okay and not coming in and out of mental facilities.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, you hear
that, Mike?
George, yeah. Hi, ma'am. Do you mind if I ask you what your name is, or you can make one up so I'd be able to address you, okay?
Yeah, my name is Anai.
Anai?
Yeah, Anai.
Okay. Let me tell you something about being in a mental facility. It's not the end of the world. You're not a bad person. You're not an abnormal person. Everyone sometime in their life has some mental issues that they can't handle, and they work them out many different ways. But I want to tell you this, having gone through rough times, the Lord healed me many years ago and changed my mind and fixed my mind. And so much so that when Jesus came into my heart, my wife, who had divorced me, gave her heart to Jesus, and we were remarried 3 years after we were divorced. And we have 6 children, 20 grandchildren, and 8 great-grandchildren. And I want to pray with you, with Pastor George, that this will go away. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You can read that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And that's God's desire for you, is that you would have a sound mind. And I know that he heals, and I know that he can heal you. And because you're reaching out right now, I believe he's going to heal you. Do you know Jesus? Have you asked Jesus into your life?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I'll pray first, and then I'd like to ask Pastor George to pray. I'd like you to say a word of prayer, too. Would you do that after we finish praying for you?
A word of prayer?
Yeah. I'll pray first.
Okay, Mike, I want to mention to you. Yeah, I'm going to just mention we have about 30 seconds before a break that I can't really move. So we're going to have a break in 30 seconds, and then we'll come back. We'll Anna E. and all those that are listening, we'll hear some programming for 2 minutes, and then Mike and I will be right back on with you, Anna E. So, yeah, we have a break in about 25 seconds.
Yes, so, Lord Jesus, we do pray for this sweet lady, everyone that's listening. We feel her heart, and we ask that you will heal her. You'll take any paranoia away, any fear. Lord, that your love would cover a multitude of sins and that your Holy Spirit would supernaturally deliver her from mental issues and let her be, as you said, love, power, and a sound mind. In Jesus' name.
Okay, we're going to go to the break. We'll be right back, Anna E., in 2 minutes. Welcome back to the second half hour of our program, Hope for the Hour. We're here to encourage you and to give you hope. And just before the break, my pastor, Mike McIntosh, and myself were having a conversation with Anna E., who's on the phone line. And Mike, Pastor Mike, prayed for her. Anna E., you still on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Mike, is it my turn to pray now? I'll pray for her?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
So, Anna E., I'm going to pray for you. Father, I want to thank you that we can connect in this way at this moment. And I just thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you. You know, God, you're right there present with Anna E. I pray for your healing power in her, Lord. I pray for your deliverance. I pray, Lord, healing to her mind, healing to her spirit. I pray the love of God to just build her up and strengthen her in the comfort of God. And I ask God for wisdom for her family and those that are with her. But I do ask, Lord, that you would rebuke and bind the enemy to any sort of spiritual battle. Just rebuke him and bind them, Lord. But you would touch her and heal her, Lord, and give her life and give wisdom in her journey too, Lord. And if there's anything in her life that, Lord, that you want to work in and deal with that maybe is an issue that's causing or helping her struggle, I pray for just your work in her heart, Lord. But I thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you for your power in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give it back to you for a second, Mike.
Okay. So, Anna E., do you have a Bible?
Yeah, I have a New Testament.
Okay. New Testament. Okay. I'd like you to read the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. In Mark, chapter 5 is a story of a man that has a lot of mental problems. And he was so ill that the devil manipulated his life. And when Jesus came to his neighborhood, he saw him and he ran and fell at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus kicked the devil out of that man's life and he healed that man. And then everybody in the cities round about came because they heard this man was healed. And I want you to read that story because he is a man that had mental issues so badly that he lived in a cemetery and he didn't have a mommy or a daddy or a grammy or a grandpa. He has no one to love him there. And we know that if they tried to chain him or to handcuff him by the police or a medical facility, he was so strong that he could break the chains. He had no hope at all. And I want to encourage you, God's going to change your life drastically from this day forward, but he wants you to do what he told that man to do. The man, once he was healed, said to Jesus, "Let me get into your boat and go with you." And Jesus said, "No." When I first read that my first time, I thought, well, that's awful mean of Jesus. But then Jesus says, "I want you to go back to your family and your friends and tell them the great things that the Lord has done for you." So he's going to touch you and heal you, but he wants you to then go to people you love and know and tell them the great things the Lord has done for you. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah.
Yep, she said yes. Yep.
Oh, yes. Okay, I couldn't hear.
Yep.
So why don't you say a prayer now, and we're going to ask all of the radio audience to be praying at your same time. We'll get hundreds of people talking to God about your issue. Would you mind just saying a brief prayer?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So God, in your name, I pray that you did the Holy Spirit come in my life. Mm-hmm. Help me find comfort in my spirit, in my life, in my heart, my mind, and my soul. Because as I've been, not only have I been to the hospital, I just don't know what to do, and I feel like I'm a lost cause. But I know that if I continue to pray for you, and if I continue to read your Bible, that I will find within you once again, because I used to have peace within you, but ever since I've discovered I have a disorder, it's hard for me to have faith. And it's hard for me to pray to you because I feel like I'm not doing it right all the time. But I just pray in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Amen. And Lord Jesus, on behalf of all the people that are listening, we want to thank you that you love this woman so much and that you care for her. And we just pray for her all together as her family, that your love would just overflow her mind and that any bad thoughts would go. And if there's anything that the devil is doing to disrupt her life, or any demonic activity, we ask by the blood of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. the name above all names, that you would set her free. You said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And she's called out for hope. And we all agree that she would be delivered right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, Annie, thank you for calling, Annie. We're all going to keep praying. A lot of people just heard. And so keep praying for Annie and many of you believers that are listening, just keep praying for God's grace and power towards her. Thank you for calling, Andy.
I'll get George before she hangs up. If you get her number, I'll send you some of my books, and you could call her and send it to her when they arrive.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll definitely do that. And, Mike, your story, for the love of Mike, man, it's such a wonderful book to read, but about how God delivered you. I was saying that to her during the break. It would be great to get a copy of that and get it to her. I think it would really encourage her.
It was interesting. The publisher who republished it a few years ago and entered it, I didn't know this, but into the international, I think it's called the International Book Fair, and she put it under the heading of inspiration, religion and inspiration. And there were like 2,000 people that was involved, putting their stories or their inspirational poetry, whatever. And she called me and said, "I didn't tell you I was doing this, but your book, your story took second place." And I said, "You're kidding me." "No." She said, "Aren't you interested in who took first place?" And I said, "Well, not really, but I guess I should be, huh?" And she said, "Yes, the person who took first place was the Pope." It was a book that he had written. And I said, "That's cool that I got beat out by the Pope. I like that."
Yeah, Mike, you even shared your testimony at a Billy Graham crusade a long, long time ago before many, many thousands, your story of how God delivered you. Well, praise the Lord. So, Anna E., we're going to be praying. We're going to get that information, and we're going to get Mike. I'm excited to get you a copy of Mike's For the Love of Mike and other books to you. So we're going to do that. God bless you.
God bless you, Annie.
You're listening to Renew FM. and this is George Small. I have Mike McIntosh on the radio with me, my pastor, Mike McIntosh. We're here to encourage you. This is Hope for the Hour. And taking calls, too, if you would like us to pray with you or if you have a question, the phone number, 888-310-PRAY. That is 888-310-7729. And someone will answer the call and put you on hold for a moment. And then when they can, transfer you to the studio, on here studio here, so we can get you on the air. But we'd love to encourage you if we can and pray with you. Got a question, give us a call, 888-310-PRAY. Yeah, Mike, your story is just amazing. And I would imagine a lot of people listening don't know your story. And you've shared it so many times. I know I've been places where you've shared it a number of times. But to hear Anna E. call in and her situation, you certainly have seen the power of God touch your life and change your life.
Yeah, and I thank the Lord for it. My heart goes out to her and to any that are listening that their mind isn't functioning as it used to or isn't clear. Or people that I'm helping, a pastor right now whose son accidentally overdosed on LSD, and he's in the hospital and his mind hasn't come back to him yet. God loves us. He created us as wonderful creatures in his kingdom, and we're told that we have a body and a soul and a spirit. But except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's the third part, is that spirit. That's what's born again.
Right.
In John chapter 3, a religious leader said, well, I'm too old to go back to my mother's womb and be born again. And he said, you're a leader of the Jewish people and you don't understand this? And he explained to us that we have a body and a soul, but our spirit can only come alive by the Holy Spirit. And that takes faith. And if we believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, not his, and we ask him to come into our life, that's where the new birth takes place, by faith, inside of us. And now we're a three-dimensional creature. Most of the people we deal with and walk by every day or at a stoplight next to them in their car, and our car, they're two-dimensional. They're a body and a soul. But the born-again believer is three-dimensional. They're a body, a soul, and a spirit. And so in many cases, like that story I alluded to in Mark chapter 5, the devil will come into somebody's body and control their mind. And if you're a born-again believer, the blood of Jesus has healed you and set you free, that the devil couldn't do that. So one of the quickest ways to get mental health moving in a person is by the Spirit of God, and he can erase your childhood memories. So many people, as you know, George, in counseling, they live in their past. They live when they remember when they were molested by somebody as a little girl or a little boy, and then they get older and they find out, now I know why I have all my problems. We weren't designed to live like that. We've been designed to live for the glory of God and for him to bless us. And my life was totally gone. I should not be alive today, many times. But the one night when I was given an overdose, and I thought that somebody had shot me in the head. And it took the doctors 10 months to get me to believe I was alive, and then 7 months so I could talk and express myself. And it was at that point, after 17 months of weekly therapy, that I ended up at Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa with Pastor Chuck Smith, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I was immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm. And when I asked the elders to pray for me, they laid hands on me. In the book of James, it says, if there's any sick or afflicted among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them lay hands on them and anoint them with oil. And the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. And that night, when Pastor Chuck and the elders laid hands on me and anointed me with oil, I was in an instant, I saw an electrical charge go from the left side of my head to my right. And that verse I quoted, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, saying that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. I was given back a sound mind by the grace of God.
Wow.
And my wife saw such a change. She gave her heart to Jesus. My mother saw such a change. She even said to me one time, "You're not my son, are you?" And I said, "Well, technically I am, but spiritually I'm a new creature in Christ." She gave her heart to the Lord. And then Sandy's mother and father gave their hearts to the Lord. And thousands of people across the country and around the world for the last 50 years have given their hearts to Jesus when he allows me to share my story and his story. Because that's what history is. It's his story.
Amen.
And it's only the cross that divides history of what he has done. And most people don't know that they have eternal life calling out to them, and it's free, and that you don't have to take pills or any medicine. It's just by faith, and the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in your life with his peace and his love and his forgiveness.
Amen. Amen. Well, the phone number is 888-310-7729. 888-310-7729. We've got another 10 minutes or so in our program tonight. We can take another call. We can pray with you. Pastor Mike McIntosh, his story is quite an extraordinary story. There's a book written, yes, for the love of Mike by Sherwood Wirt. Sherwood Wirt, yes, was with Billy Graham. He founded the Decision Magazine, I believe, that Billy Graham used, yes, to have. Wrote, yes, Mike McIntosh's book, For the Love of Mike. And it's one of my favorites. It'll really minister to your heart, but tells a story of growing up and then all, you know, the trials and broken heart, but then the, as he mentioned, the drugs and then the bad drug deal and or the drug situation that happened where, you know, you ended up with a real broken mind there for a good long time, and then how God, yeah, saved you and healed you. And you've ministered all around the world. And maybe tonight you're a little, you're wanting prayer. You can call and also leave a prayer request too. I'll mention that to you in case I wonder maybe if you're listening and you're like, "Well, I don't want to be on the air right now," but because of your situation, you can call too and call the same number. Just leave it with the receptionist answering the calls, and she'll forward over the prayer request, and we can pray for you. We can even pray for you without your name if you want us to. We did just the, yes, other day for somebody that was struggling with addiction and called in. And the number, 888-310-PRAY, 310-7729, 888-310-7729. Yeah, Mike.
Pastor George, I'd like to underline and underscore this for anybody that's listening. If you do have mental issues, they can be worked out and you can be healed. Sometimes the drugs, if they're taken, that are given to you and you're taking too much of them, can make you feel worse. But you never need to take your life. Your life is very valuable. And I'm a living testimony that once the Lord takes your life, you become somebody that is a good person in society, and you no longer live in your past, and you no longer blame somebody for something. You love the Lord, and as you read the Bible and you understand what a spiritual woman is or a spiritual man, you now start helping people. So if you're listening or you have a friend that's suicidal, they don't need to do that. That will not take the pain away. Mm. But what will take the pain away is the gift of eternal life, which is free from God in Jesus' name. That'll take the pain away, and you will be whole, and you'll have a purpose in life to love people and to serve people and to help people find their way through the Word of God and through prayer.
Well, that's why we call this program Hope for the Hour. Mike, you said it really well. There is hope in Christ. God wants to give you hope. This world is spinning and turning upside down and all around, and we're looking around and wondering about the world. We've got our own lives already that are very challenging at times, and sometimes our own personal issues, as Mike has even talked about in our previous call, are just personal issues that are very, very debilitating and troubling. But there's hope, and there's hope because God sent his son Jesus to this world. He became a man. He died on a cross, and he rose from the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And he came to give us life. And the Holy, yeah, Spirit, that life, as Mike has mentioned, is to be born again. It is the Holy Spirit. And mm-hmm. I pray you know that as you're listening. And if you know the Lord, to just learn to yield more to his Spirit and to trust him and to believe in him and to be in the Bible and praying, as we've also reminded you over this last hour, that such a need, so many in the church even today, hardly picking up their Bibles and reading, spending more time with the TV or social media. And that's just going to dry up the spiritual life and vitality in you. It's not going to help you. And what's going to help you, some of those things are neutral, some are fine, but what you really need is the Word of God. It is living and alive in the Holy Spirit. So seek the Lord. Draw near to the Lord. Well, Mike, in our last minutes, and it's been a blessing, we're hoping to see you come to New England. And I know we're going to talk with you a little bit more about that. You were just in the Midwest ministering, as you mentioned, as in so many communities. And just always, you know, you're an evangelist. It's one of the gifts that you have, pastor and many other gifts, but certainly an evangelist too. And we're hoping to see you come September, October, God willing, to New England and different towns. We've got some pastors that are connecting and planning and seeing what could happen. And so we're hoping to have you come here soon after September 11th.
That. I'd love to come where it all started at. And I think we talked about this the other day on social media, that it'd be interesting for God to break out in New England. And that's where America really got its power and its start, was for the Great Awakening that happened with George Whitefield, a very young man, sitting on a big white horse, 20 years old when he started. And you have one audience, history tells us, of 20,000 people. And a man was interviewed from that. And he said, "I stood on the outside of the crowd, right at the very edge of it. I heard every word that that young man said on his horse about eternal life being free." And he said, "If I took one or two steps back from the last row of people, you couldn't hear a word. But if you were part of that group, you could hear what the Lord was saying." And that's the heritage of the people of New England and where the freedom came in our early colonies. And you know, maybe there's somebody that's listening on the radio right now, and you've been on the edge for quite some time, and now you don't know what to do. You need to get into the middle of it. You need to accept the forgiveness of God in your life. He can heal a marriage. He did mine. We were married 3 years, divorced 3 years. We've been together now 54 years. And we just found out that number 21 grandchild is coming. And number 8 is here, and he great-grandchild, and he's the cutest little guy. And God healed all of my mistakes and forgave me and has blessed. And I guarantee you, you may have a horrible marriage, but God can heal your marriage. He can heal your bad memories. He can heal you. He can touch you. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and his son paid the price. And his son said in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, he gave. He's a giver. He's not a taker. He gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would never perish, never, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn his soul, but to save him. But the condemnation is this, and Jesus said it, that men love darkness more than they love the light, and they won't come out to the light because their deeds are evil, lest they be reproved. And if you're humble enough to say, my life isn't firing on all 8 cylinders, you could be a billionaire and not happy with what's going on with your soul. Give your soul to God. The world hasn't flourished it. The world hasn't promised you eternal life. The only eternal life the world has is eternal damnation, where you'll be alive forever, but separated from God. Give your heart to God this hour. Remember this day, the rest of your life, when you responded on the 4th of August in 2020, God gave you 2020 vision in the heart. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and he wants to introduce you to his Father. Would you do that right now and just ask God simply, forgive me of my sins. I don't understand it all. I'm taking a step of faith here, God. Would you please forgive me? Things aren't going well at work or family or your health. You know, God has all the answers, and he has the power to take care of you. Would you just say, come into my life, Lord Jesus. Give me eternal life and fill me with the Holy Spirit that I can follow the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you just prayed with Mike McIntosh, if you've heard him and just are asking the Lord to come into your life, we'd love to hear from you. If we can encourage you, you can still call even after this program, and if for some reason it goes into voicemail, just leave your name and number, We'd love to reach out to you, encourage you, get you a Bible. And the number is 888-310-PRAY, 888-310-PRAY. But if you're listening and just been sitting there in your car, in your home, and going through a lot of things, but God is speaking to you and you're opening your heart to God and reaching out to him, we'd love to hear from you so we can get you a Bible, encourage you in any way we can. 888-310-PRAY. Well, we've got a little over a minute. And, Mike, I don't know, have you heard of the return on September the 26th?
No.
It's a solemn assembly. A lot of people get involved. But you know the interesting thing? I'll just mention it here at the end. Interesting thing when you talk about our heritage. September the 26th this year is exactly 400 years to the day from when the Mayflower left the coast of England. You know, it tried multiple times and different setbacks. When it finally left, that was September the 26th, 1620. So 400 years ago to the day is September the 26th this year. But it's also 40 days before the election. Interesting, 400 years from the Mayflower, 40 days before the election. And there's a big solemn assembly, and it's just a call, you know, to the Washington Mall. They've reserved it, and lots of different people involved just saying, hey, we need to return to the Lord. And so you were mentioning about our history, but I just thought of that. Interesting date, September the 26th this year, 400 years from the Mayflower when it set apart from England, and 40 days before the election. We're here right at the end. I wish we could keep going, but we've just got a few seconds. Thank you, Mike, for being with us.
You're welcome, George. And I'll have a box of my books shipped to you, and you can use them as you want to help people.
Sounds great. Thank you very much. Well, God bless you. And we'll be back on Thursday night and then on Friday night here, Hope for the Hour. God bless you.